Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio on May 19th, 2020, and I hope it's a nice day where you are. It certainly is here in Maine, and I'm looking forward to a lot of nice days. Then we got Memorial Day coming up. Everybody can take Monday off, get rid of some stress, and hopefully it'll be nice. You can get outside a little bit, wear your mask or whatever. Okay, we do. That's all I can say on that. All right, I don't know why that's a controversy, but for some reason it is. But I hope everybody stays healthy, et cetera, et cetera. We have a really nice show today. I'm going to talk to a friend of mine from Curriculum Associates, Danielle Sullivan. Okay, Danielle Sullivan is the National Director for Content and Implementation, and she specializes in establishing and strengthening blended middle school implementations, with an emphasis on engagement and motivation. And those two words are key to this conversation we're going to have today, engagement and motivation. All right. Of course, we've also got with us Megan Mayer, or Meyer. I'll ask Megan how to pronounce that. Megan, okay, is a middle school English teacher down in Florida, all right, in Northport, Florida. And she teaches all middle grades. They work together. iReady is a product of Curriculum Associates. I think they're working together on that. But Megan has to put together not only a learning program, and I'm going to make this a socialization program, if I may, okay, because she, like every other teacher, kids are used to being in a classroom, and there's socialization going on. And all of a sudden, that has been taken away from us. And we still have to maintain some kind of a classroom culture, which brings us back to Danielle's job on engagement and motivation, and Megan's job to making that happen online, remote learning, distance learning. So it's going to be an interesting conversation about maintaining classroom culture through this crazy COVID remote learning, remote education time. It's really something. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org, and we tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. If you go over to past shows at education-talkradio.org, you can see every show we've ever done. Okay, every show we've ever done since 2011. Pick them, and people listen to those shows all the time. It just never ceases to amaze me. Okay, that's at education-talkradio.org. Our sister website is ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. Ace-ed.org is the home of our online journal, which is ACNE, and it's now the official journal of our organization, which we've changed ace-ed.org into an acronym, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed, then .org. And we have wonderful information over there. We've got a big place over there, a consortium, which you're welcome to join. Everything is free over there. It's for teacher voice, educator voice, industry voice, etc. We're doing very, very well. Tomorrow we have a Twitter chat going on. Okay, Rural Kids Matter is the hashtag, and it's going to be about rural education. We're so interested in the access and equity for every kid. So please, that's our access and equity site, ace-ed.org, and please sign up, join with us, write for us, get the magazine, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We want your voice to be heard. And check that out. Tomorrow, I think at 2 o'clock, Rural Kids Matter, hashtag Rural Kids Matter. Okay, and in fact, they do. All kids matter, as a matter of fact. Let me bring on my guests. Okay, and there we go. We're getting this ready here. I go, well, there we go. Okay, very good. I'll start with Megan. Megan, you there?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Megan. Is it Mayer or Meyer? How do you like that pronounced?
Mayer. It looks like Meyer because that's how Oscar Meyer is spelled, but it's Mayer.
Well, my baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
Yes.
No. So say it again. Megan, what's your last name? Do it again. Now I'm going to do Meyer
Megan
all the time. It's Mayer, right?
Megan Mayer.
Megan Mayer. Thank you, Megan Mayer. Okay, it's a pleasure to have you, and call me Larry, Meg, okay?
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. We're going to have a fun conversation with you. You got an interesting background. Danielle, are you there?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. I'm fine. How you doing, Almighty National Education Consultant?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Thank you for having us. I'm excited to be part of this conversation, for sure.
Well, I'm excited to have you. Where are you located?
I live in Florida, so not too far from Megan. I live in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, super, super. So you're both doing okay All have you been to the beach? Have you been to the beach, Danielle?
Not since they closed them. So I know Florida's reopening a lot more, but we've driven by the beach. I have not been to the beach.
Of course, you have to. It's curiosity. Meg, have you been to the beach?
No, I haven't. I was just telling my husband last night I'd love to go, but I'm super high risk for this virus, so we're just staying home for right now.
Right. That's a good decision on your part, as far as I'm concerned. I you know, don't mind people going to the beach. Just everybody stay separate, for goodness sakes. Don't crowd up. Okay? It's that simple. All right? We have beaches up here in Maine. Our beaches here in Maine, they're open, but nobody's going yet because it's freezing up here, as usual. Okay? But we do have beaches, I got to tell you. All right? Unbelievable. Okay, Curriculum Associates, thank you so much for putting together the show for me. That's where Danielle works. And Megan, you heard me preface all this. And by the way, this is an interesting thing in your background. You went to Florida Gulf Coast University, but you have a degree in resort and hospitality management. You worked as an event coordinator, which in my opinion, before you went into teaching, in my opinion, is a perfect job to do before you become a teacher. Because you're planning events all day when you're an educator, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of what I learned was just customer service. And so I feel like that really helped me to deal with parents and to just deal with like other staff members and admin and things like that. So it was a good background to have.
It is a great background. And I am a firm believer that all teachers should have another job for a couple of years or however long first, because it gives them a whole different perspective when they go into education, because they've been out there, if I may, the real world, okay? They've had a job. That's what no matter what level of kid we're teaching, that's what we're preparing them to do. And it gives you a whole different perspective. I love the fact that you did this. It's great. And I love the fact that this show is about maintaining a classroom culture. Dan, by the way, Meg, how long have you been teaching?
This fall will be 6 years.
Wow, congratulations, and thank you for doing that, okay? And we'll talk about your trials
and
tribulations during this period of time, okay? But Danielle, you know, we labeled this show Maintaining a Classroom Culture, and that's really kind of what you do, okay? Middle school implementations for curriculum associates, but an emphasis on engagement and motivation.
Yeah.
How are we doing? Engagement and motivation. There's no socialization now. The kids can't look at each other and go, "Oh my God, this is terrible what Ms. Mayer's doing to us today." Oh my God, we'll do it anyway. Yeah.
I know it's a challenge, especially during these times. And that's part of what I'm really fortunate to be able to work with a company that allows, not only do we really prioritize partnerships with educators, students, leaders, but a lot of some of the content that I've been delivering during this time has really been about self-care, prioritizing connection, empathy, making sure that we're seeing each other as humans. And that's a huge story in the middle school motivation and engagement. And I love what you've been said about equity. We really need to meet each other where we are all at currently. And that is a huge theme that's running through all of the conversations that I've been having with educators. And we've had the privilege of actually broadcasting some great content nationwide. People have been tuning in. We've been offering a lot of stuff for free to make sure that we're just supporting educators during this time. And I'm just happy to be able to help. And I love what you said too about a career change. I did teach for 10 years. Before I was a teacher, I worked in politics. So I've had a whole 360 view of education, and then I was in politics, became a teacher, and then now I'm working at Curriculum Associates. So I totally agree with that. I think it's really helpful to have a life experience in order to impart that on your students.
Absolutely. And I've been saying that for years, as a matter of fact, and you ladies are prime examples of it, because you're excellent at what you're doing now, but that other perspective, okay, makes it a lot different when you're in the faculty room dealing with parents, dealing with vendors, dealing with administrators, dealing with kids, okay? It just makes all the difference in the world. So let me swing over. Meg, how you doing these? Can I call you Meg, or do you like Megan? I've been calling you Meg.
Yeah, you can call me whatever you want. Just don't call me late to dinner.
Ba-dum-bum. Thank you very much, Megan. I will call you Meg. Okay. Meg, how you doing? Well, you know, the kids are under a lot of stress, and we can get into that equity aspect of it as well. The kids are under stress. This isn't the way they've been taught to learn. And suddenly they're doing this, and they're doing this by looking at their friends' pictures. And they've been isolated from their friends for a long time, and it does destroy that culture that we build up of friendship, mm-hmm. socialization, a classroom culture. What's going on? When I ask you those questions, what pops into your head as you're going through this?
I mean, for me, this has been a struggle, and I think that it just helps me to relate a lot more to what my students are going through, because, you know, in the beginning, it's like I'm very active on social media. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, and I was seeing a lot of other teachers, like, really diving in and creating really cute, you know, online lessons and getting all into it, and I was, like, depressed. And it took me a good 3 to 4 weeks to really kind of accept that, like, this was my new normal. And I feel like that's just helped me to really understand what my students are going through. I just have a lot of empathy for them. And the biggest thing right now for me is just having, you know, compassion and giving my kids grace, and not, I'm not worried so much right now about the work that they're producing. I'm worried more about their mental health and just how they're doing through this.
Good. And that's what we should be worried about right now, because everybody's going through this. And I always remind people, not only is there a educational crisis out there, that's our point of view, but there's also a social crisis and a healthcare crisis going on. There are, and I don't know the numbers for Florida, but there are, there's a scare out there. It's traumatic out there. There's a disease running rampant out there, and 90,000 people are dead, and a lot of people are hurting. Okay, and people are hurting economically, certainly. And, you know, it's a scary time. I mean, Meg, I don't know about your school per se. If you want to talk about it, you're welcome to talk about Woodland Middle School. But, you know, if kids are from lower socioeconomic classes and mom and dad all of a sudden don't have jobs, where's the food coming from? Suddenly they're in a food line.
Yeah. That's been one of my biggest concerns. Yeah, we've got a very big population of kids who are free and reduced lunch. I think it's like more than 50%. So that's something that I've definitely, you know, worried about. Like, if I have a kid who, if they're not participating in what we're doing, my, you know, when I contact a parent, my first question is not, why is your kid not turned in work? It's, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Because that's, you know, that's what matters first and foremost. I mean, I've had kids who have had to move during this because of, you know, financial situations. So it's tough.
It's brutal. And I'll ask this, excuse me, and it's an odd question these days. What's your attendance been like? What's the percentage? I don't know how they even ask that. Have you been getting close to 100% middle school?
No. No. I will say one of my classes in the beginning, yes, because it was a block class, which means I have these kids for about 2 hours a day. Some of them I actually have for longer because I have them in my homeroom as well. And it's a small class, and they're very, very tight-knit. And so, you know, the first couple weeks, 100% participation. But I've got other classes where, you know, it's more 60, 70, you know, they're kind of getting tired of it. So last week was a little bit lower. You know, that's definitely one of the struggles, is actually getting them to engage and participate. And you have to be creative in what you do.
Do you think that's because, and it's not you, and by the way, you're echoing what zillions of teachers are saying out there, believe me, so don't ever feel like you're alone. But why do you suppose that is? Is it just boredom on their part? Do you feel like you're giving them everything they need? You can answer that if you wish, and I know you're trying to do that. Don't misunderstand. Do you just think they miss their kids? What is going on with that other 30% of kids? What's the rationale for this?
Yeah. I think it's just,
from your opinion. Yeah.
It's just overload. It's like, for me, you know, I'm an adult, but I'm also, you know, a parent. I have two girls. Yep. One is 6, one is 3. And, you know, I'm having to, like, homeschool the kindergartner, and my 3-year-old is very, very active. She has the energy of, like, 5 3-year-olds. And then my husband is a teacher as well. So, you know, we're both working during the day. It's it's hard enough for me to manage my time, and I'm an adult. So for my kids, I think with that engagement piece, it's just, it's hard to manage their time. They don't really know how to do that yet. That's something that we teach them, and I teach sixth grade. So, you know, they're just coming into middle school. So that's a big part. And
yep.
I think too, you know, I know a lot of my kids, they're a little bit depressed, and I feel the same way. You know, I get emails from my kids that they're like, they're not doing their work, but they'll email me and they'll be like, I miss you. I miss our class. I think it's just, they have so many emotions and they just don't know how to process it. I think, you know, I don't know if you've ever just been upset and had so many different thoughts and feelings that you just shut down. And I think that's where a lot
Everybody
of my
does.
Kids are at right now. They're just overwhelmed. I mean, I know for me in the beginning, I was using Microsoft Teams to kind of deliver a lot of my content. And then I was also using iReady. And I found that that was getting really hard for some of my kids because other classes use Blackboard and another class uses this. So I kind of switched to just iReady.
Yeah.
So they know that they
wow.
have one place to go. They know what to do. And that's, I think that's a big part of it too, is they're just overwhelmed.
They really are. And Danielle, let me swing back, okay? And let's just use it.
Mm-hmm.
We can, because Curriculum Associates helped me put together this show. iReady is a good product, so I have no problem talking about that. You explain iReady fairly quickly if you can, okay?
Yep.
And then put that together, okay, with the challenges that are out there right now. In other words, if teachers are using iReady or if they want to use it in the future, how can it be used if we're in the continuing online education program to engage the kids, okay? This is an ongoing challenge. Every teacher is
Absolutely.
Having the same exact challenge. But just put it in perspective of this, just to kind of hone it and focus it on down. Danielle Sullivan.
Yes, of course. So what we provide at Curriculum Associates, iReady blended solution. So it provides an assessment and an instruction all in one place. So it starts with an adaptive diagnostic, and then it provides both online instruction, and we have links to our core math product called Ready Classroom, and then we also have very powerful teacher-led resources in Teacher Toolbox. So right now what people really need, they need adaptability, they need data they can trust, they need to measure what districts are going to need to measure in the fall learning losses. We've offered in this COVID time, so we've actually offered a lot of our curriculum resources for free.
Yes, you have.
On a website,
yes,
curriculumassociates.com/@home. So we believe that we want to empower teachers to have the resources that they need. And the way iReady actually works, and we kind of hack the system even for this COVID time, that we've offered our online instruction for free to a lot of districts. And what happens normally, I have to take a diagnostic, but we offer just the ability to access online instruction. We're going back to our normal model because it's really important for educators to know where the students are starting. But iReady is personalized. Teachers have autonomy and can assign different lessons to students. They also have an automated path. And as we're thinking about partnering with districts for the fall, we're in conversations currently. We're bringing educators together from across the country in different cohorts, depending on their region, on how we can support them in planning for, you know, what schools look like. And we also provide both virtual and in-person solutions. So if they're going to be in the building, we have solutions for them. If they're going to be blended approach, we have solutions. And here's the most important thing. We've been doing this all along. This is our business model. We've been supporting educators in this way, so we don't have to like scramble to adjust for the COVID-19 school closures, which, by the way, the schools are closed. Education has not. We understand buildings
That's
are
right.
closed, but teachers and they've been doing the important work.
That's right.
And our goal is to really make sure that we can connect teachers together, we can connect students with their learning, and I am under the lens of student empowerment always, especially in middle school, and Megan and I have had many conversations about empowering students to own their learning, and especially now, meeting them where they are with what Megan's talking about with their social trauma, what's happening, understanding, leading with empathy, but then backing up with really powerful data so they know what they are missing and they're able to move forward. But we have to address the human element before we do anything. So as a company, we're really thinking about all of that.
And that's a very good point. And what I always loved about iReady is that it's very individualized, okay, that
yes.
that teachers are able to do that, which brings me to another point of all this, and I'll throw this to Megan. Megan, how, you know, we can, again, use iReady. There's, you know, other products out there, but we could use iReady. It's just fine. Okay? So you have data, okay, to understand where the kid is, et cetera. Meg, how involved are the parents in all this these days? And I know how important they are, and they're stuck home too, and they have jobs, many of them, that they have to work at home all of a sudden. And just like you and your husband, you not only have your jobs, you have your two kids to manage. You multiply that by 300 million, and you get what we're going through in this country. So with all that, are we getting the parents involved? Now, you have the data to show what you need. You have the product to show what they can do. How are you getting the parents involved, at least to provide in-house socialization? Good.
Yeah, so that was definitely a struggle in the beginning. My school did just an amazing job of making sure that we connected with every single family before we started online learning. So we knew up front right away who has internet, who doesn't. Our school purchased a ton of like hotspots so that kids who didn't have internet would have internet. We checked on, you know, who had devices. So the district took care of, you know, loaning out computers. Even like my daughter is in kindergarten. I borrowed a computer from the district so that she could work on her iReady while I was working and my husband was working. So they just did a really great job of connecting with, you know, families in the beginning. And then every week, what I do is I send out an agenda. And in the beginning, like the first week, I sent it only to my students. And then I realized, I'm like, you know, the parents are the ones who really need the agenda. They need to know what's going on for the week. So I created basically like on Outlook, I created like groups. So I have, you know, second period kids, second period parents. So every, you know, Sunday night or Monday morning, depending on how lazy I was over the weekend, I'll just shoot out, you know, my agenda for the week to all the parents, all the students. And it just kind of, you know, step-by-step lists, this is the assignment for the week, you know, this is the time that we're going to do our Zoom, and just kind of giving them all of that information up front. And then if I'm not hearing back from parents, like if I'm sending out emails or something like that, Google Voice has been an amazing app for me because I can get, you know, a different phone number, so I'm not giving out my personal number. But I can text parents, and we have found at my school that they respond a lot quicker to text than they do with email. But again, you just have to approach it, you know, again, with compassion and grace and understanding, you know, not texting them, hey, why hasn't your kid done any work? I mean, I wouldn't even do that in, you know, normal situations. So, you know, I always have to kind of start with, hey, I just wanted to check in, see how everything's going, you know, and then you kind of go into, you know, hey, so-and-so didn't, you know, do any work and, you know, is everything okay? But I send a lot of emails just throughout the week, just kind of letting them know their progress. If a student did really well on a lesson, then I'll, you know, send them an email and say, hey, you did an awesome job. Thanks for your great work. And I just copy the parents on that too, just to keep them in the loop.
And how's, this is a weird question. A child, I don't know if you can monitor this at all, but and maybe you did just get a feel for it. I'll call it student to student communication. And, you know, I'll give you an example. You know, if the kids are in a regular classroom, and Miss Mayer gives them a really hard test and everybody does lousy, they can all go, ooh, together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now they're not together. I know you're a good teacher. I'm just kidding you when I make up all this stuff.
No, you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, they can go, you know, there's a certain amount of reward. Oh, just Susie got an A. Let's give a round of applause to Susie, although in middle school that usually is trouble. But you know what I mean. Okay.
That's
something I'm relating my own experiences. Yeah, so how are you doing, how are the kids doing student to student, friend to friend, in terms of them being a class together?
Yeah.
Can you monitor them?
I can. Like in the beginning, I was just doing Zooms just to like check in, and I wasn't getting a lot of participation. So what I started doing was, I don't know if you're familiar with Kahoot. The online quiz games, but you can find quizzes and you can make your own. So what I do is I assign a lesson on iReady on whatever standard I want them to work on, and then I create a Kahoot quiz based on that lesson. So they can only participate in the Kahoot if they've done the lesson. So yeah. it's kind of yeah. like that extra yeah. motivational yeah. piece to get them to do their yeah. work. And then we play Kahoot through Zoom. And I have just been blown away by the amount of kids that are now participating in the Zooms. And it's that I know that they look forward to it. It's that socializing time with their friends. They get to see their friends. They get to talk to them. And, you know, for a little bit of time, it's almost like we're still in the classroom because, you know, Kahoot has like, and while the kids are signing in, I, part of my thing is like, I dance and I love to embarrass them. So like, I still get to do that through Zoom. And it's like, you know, for a good, like 15 minutes, I kind of feel like I'm back in the classroom. So that's been a huge just thing for my kids that they've really been looking forward to.
That's good. It's cool. And do you find that the kids miss the classroom culture? Do they miss their friends? Do they miss the camaraderie? The chaos, however you want to say it.
They okay. do, yeah. They really do. I mean, I have a couple of kids. One just comes to mind right away. I have a kid who I've had all year who's been a little bit of a struggle. I won't go into it. We have our good days. We have our bad days. And sure. Just before we left for break, we had a lot of bad days. And so it was one student in particular that I was really worried about going into this quarantine because I just felt, you know, when I have a bad day with a student, they have a bad day, I like to talk to them, you know, the next day about whatever the situation mm-hmm. was sure. so we can mend sure. our relationship. We never got to do that. So I had sent a couple yeah. of emails, never really heard from them, but they were doing their work. Well, they actually joined one of my Zooms last week, and I was just like, I was ecstatic just to hear their voice. They wouldn't show their face, but it was so cute because they right away they were like, Miss Mayer, I hate this. I want to be back at school. Yeah. I miss you. I miss my friends. And it just, you know, it's, you think that, you know, some of these kids, you think, oh, they're probably loving this. No, every single kid that I have talked to, they want to be at school. And, you know, they want to be yeah. not just with their friends, but with
amazing.
Their teachers too. I mean, we're kind of like another parent
social.
To them.
Yeah. It's social. And you brought up something interesting. If I may, you said that some of the kids, when they're on a Zoom, they don't even have their camera on. Am I right?
Mm-mm. A couple of them. There's a couple who don't, and it's something that I don't push because I don't know their situation. I actually read
exactly.
this great article a couple of weeks ago that talked about the Zoom backgrounds, how you can upload a picture
right.
and it's kind of like a green screen effect.
Yeah.
And it basically
yeah.
was saying how we should really push kids to use it because
mm-hmm.
it
yeah.
sort of gives them, you know, not necessarily a level playing
safety.
Field, but
safety.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, they don't have to worry about what someone might see in the background and they're not
exactly.
feeling judged. And we're just kind of, you know, so that's just been a big thing that really hit home for me. I was like, wow, you know, I didn't really think about that at first. So if they
Would.
Don't want to show their face, I don't push it, but I do ask that they unmute themselves just so I can hear their voice.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. And, you know, that's something that never even dawned on me till just now as you brought that up, that some of the kids may not even want to be seen. They, you know, kids, middle school kids, everything's on the outside anyway. All right. And they,
mm-hmm.
they just, you know, it's just that simple. It would be unbearable to perhaps see them at a sloppy kitchen table or something like that. The kids.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
interesting.
It. Yeah,
yeah. Good girl.
That's,
I like
funny
this.
With like,
yeah.
With this quarantine, is, you know, I keep hearing we're all in the same boat. And it's like, you know, I love the phrase we're all in this together, but we're not all in the same boat. You know,
yeah.
my boat is I live in a 3-bedroom house and I have a backyard. But some of my kids, they might live in a studio
right.
apartment and they're not able to go to the playground because it's closed. You know, so we're in this
yeah.
together. But all of our situations are very different. And we just, especially as educators, we really have to understand that. I think that's just so crucial.
Boy, that is a great point to come out of this. Danielle, what are your thoughts on that? You mentioned, and it boils back down to what you were saying earlier, you know, what I said about equity. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you're one of the experts in this, Danielle. How does the equity factor fit into building a classroom culture these days in public school?
Do we have 5 hours? Do we have a week?
Yeah, we do, as a matter of fact.
Talk about that. So,
and I'll give you a PhD
a lot
from
of
the University of Larry if you can answer that question. No problem. Don't even
okay,
worry
perfect,
about it.
Okay, perfect. And just a sound bite.
Dr.
No
Sullivan,
worries.
You may continue.
Thank you. Unfortunately, there was a lot of issues before COVID-19. Social emotional learning wasn't a priority. Students didn't feel safe in school. There were, bullying issues. And then on top of that, the equity divide in this country has been astronomical for a very long time. So unfortunately, there's been a lot of wonderful things that have happened by forcing a collective pause, by forcing us to slow down. Because there's been positive impacts on the environment because of this. So you can see both sides, but when it comes to education, we need to pause and take a deep breath and know that we are in this together. But I totally agree with Megan saying we're not all in the same boat. And I think we need to be able to rely on things that have worked in the past. That's why our company has really great valid data, but we also need to rely on our human instinct and what Megan's talking about, the compassion and connection, because students have been experiencing trauma before, but I haven't seen a successful classroom culture yet virtually because of the equity issue, because some students don't have access to computers. They don't have access. They're embarrassed. They're frustrated. Who knows what their experience are? I've still talked to educators that had not talked to some students within 2 months. They haven't been able to reach the families. So not only are we talking about equity of connection, issues with just human connection, but the academic fallout from this is going to be with us for some time, which is really important to find tools and partners that schools trust. And these are all of the things that we keep thinking about at Curriculum Associates to make sure that we're meeting the needs of where kids are. And I think there is a combination of valid, reliable data to know how we measure learning loss, and then the human element of how we're talking to students and providing safe spaces and making sure teachers feel connected. Like you talk about this, asking her questions about her students. So many teachers are feeling disconnected. So many adults, people in our company are feeling disconnected. My family's feeling disconnected. Like people are just done. They're done being apart from people. I know. And I think, but the other problem I think is happening is if not continuing to talk about empathy and compassion, then people don't know how to manage their emotions. And you're seeing some things in the news of just people being apart from people for 6 weeks and then not knowing how to have human decency conversations. I'm yelling at people. So compound that with, if adults are struggling with managing this, what about middle schoolers? So I think we need really be, strategic and having these essential conversations. And that's why Megan, teachers like Megan are so essential. She had a safe classroom culture before. She's been doing the best she can in this virtual environment, and her district is doing wonderful things by saying compassion first. And I think we can learn from schools that are doing things in this way. And another teacher in New York City, she's been on some of our events. They actually created an internal committee to kind of come up with their learning plan, their virtual learning plan. I mean, I think we can learn from things that work, like know in your district what are the strengths of the educators, who can be on the virtual, education committee, because this is not going away anytime soon. So it's really important to be able to think about long-term strategy. And we're in Florida and hurricane season's coming. So either way, there's probably going to be extended school closures at some point. So it's important for us to start planning around this. And there's like 20 hurricanes or something ridiculous. Yay, slow clap.
It's supposed to be a bad hurricane season this year. We already had, even before hurricane season, just this past weekend, Tropical Storm Arthur bounding around on your East Coast. And, I forgot to ask you, Meg, what district are you in? What's the school district? I know it's a county, but what county?
Sarasota.
Oh, is that the county?
Sarasota County. Sarasota County and Sarasota District.
Thank you. And they obviously did a good job, and certainly, it seems to me like they did. A curiosity, okay, I want to ask you a question. You've been doing this for 8 weeks. You're congratulations. You're now an expert in online education. Okay. Yeah. Great to everybody out there. Everybody pat yourselves on the back for the job you're doing. But
I don't feel that way, but thank you.
Well, you're doing a good job because because you fly a Piper Cub doesn't mean you can fly a 747 in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
and the
true.
Job
that's a great
you're
analogy.
Doing, yeah,
yes,
just,
I like that.
You know, you're doing a great job. You do the best you can. Okay, and the plane's not going to crash, believe me. All right, and you're doing a good job. But knowing what you know now, okay, and if you could say, what would be the one thing you would say we need this more than anything? Okay, what would you say to the school district to be prepared for the fall or in Florida
I mean,
case, the return in August?
Yeah, if and when when we go back into the classroom,
yeah.
I think for a very long time, we really need to focus on mental health because a lot of our kids struggle right now, you know, even before this, this year, especially, you know, I teach sixth grade. I was really just shocked and saddened by the mental health issues that a lot of my kids had. And so going into, you know, this quarantine, it's going to make things just even worse. And so I think that our district
mm-hmm.
really needs to focus on the mental health of our students and just teaching them, you know, like Danielle was saying, just how to socialize with people again. And that's something that you work on in middle school anyways.
Yes, you do.
But, you know, just teaching, you know, them how to just be, you know, good human beings and to be kind to one another and, you know, just to how to really manage their emotions. And, you know, I think that we are going to have a lot of kids coming to us, you know, with trauma. It's something that I worry about pretty much every day. I've read a lot of statistics before that have talked about how, you know, in a normal school year, when we come back from summer break, the amount of DCF reports just skyrockets.
Yep.
Because kids
yep.
have been, you know, at home during
yep.
the summer and, you know, that abuse hasn't been reported. And foster care
wow.
usually just gets just overwhelming in the fall. And that's something that I worry about a lot is what's going to happen when we finally do, you know, get back in front of our kids. What kind of stories am I going to hear and what's going to happen? And, you know, I try to not think about that. I try to just have
hope.
Well,
no, you're doing the right thing
I think
by thinking about it. It's
something that all
there.
Districts are really going to have to be prepared for. I think that before we go back, you know, I don't care about testing, about academics when we go back. I think that we need a lot of training on how to handle this trauma because this is going to be, you know, we get training every year on, you know, different kinds of trauma. We get training on, you know, sexual abuse and things like that. But this is trauma that every single kid is going to have some form of it. I mean, no one's going to go back and be like, that was an awesome quarantine. I mean,
yeah.
every kid's going to have a story.
Yeah.
And I think that every teacher really needs to be trained on just how to handle it. And just,
right.
It's going to be a rough road when we go back. But I know for me, you know, my big focus is just going to be on my kids and their mental health and just reestablishing those relationships and just really helping them to feel safe.
Good for you. That was a great answer and so well thought out and so scary because we will get back to school. We really will one way or the other. We certainly will. What do you think, Danielle? We got about 2 minutes left. What do you think?
I agree with a lot of what Megan's saying. I also think that as that's from a teacher perspective, which is amazing, and districts need to be thinking about this as well. And we do need to have visibility in the academic portion because that is school. I think we can approach it with empathy and
yeah.
compassion. And that's where we as a company, Curriculum Associates, even our math product, we have a routine built into our math curriculum that really helps students feel seen and heard with mathematics by encouraging
yeah.
them to talk about math in a way where they're making sense of the problem, they're owning their learning. That's where the iReady comes in and the data. Having, you know, once they take that diagnostic, but even approaching the diagnostic in a very kind, compassionate way, but having them understand it so they can feel empowered and feel that they can do it. It's a lot of mental mindset shifts. And we've needed those mindset shifts.
Yes,
say
yes.
that five times fast.
I was
before
just gonna say,
this.
Yes.
right before this happened. But I think there's ways that we can weave in both what Megan's saying with the trauma and the just human impact around what they need academically. There is a compassionate, kind way to do that. And that's what we're hoping to partner with districts with, having those conversations and those planning conversations at Curriculum Associates. And I'm right with Megan. Even the content I've been doing is very much on the human element, social emotional element of things.
And I should add, I still care about academics.
I know you do.
Of course you do.
Okay. But in order to learn, you have to be mentally healthy and mindful.
Yes.
Okay. And that's really what
the hierarchy of needs, you know, it's that Bloom's taxonomy. It's, you know, they have to feel safe and loved and secure first. And that, you know, that's one of the things I am looking forward to when we get back, you know, when we do that first diagnostic, because all of my kids are going to be behind. And it's going to be such great conversations, because everyone's going to know that everybody's behind. It's not just them. And I really think that that's going to create
a
whole different classroom culture in itself. We're all going to really feel like, hey, we're going to grow together.
I love that. It's great. And one of the things, just to make the point before we go, Danielle, you were right. Okay, we need that social emotional element. I'll call it that, the mental health element. But we also need, and you agreed with this, Meg, we need the diagnostic tools to know where kids are when they come back. Okay.
Yes.
We're good at anecdotal as teachers, but we need the real hard data so we know where to go from there. It's all good. It's all great. We got to leave. Ladies, you're wonderful. Just try not to go insane through all this, and you're doing a great job, Meg. You too, Danielle.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you so much.
You have a great day. Stay nice, sunny Florida, and drive by the beach. Enjoy it. Okay. Take care, ladies.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Megan Mayer at Northport, Florida, Woodland Middle School, and Danielle Sullivan from Curriculum Associates, curriculumassociates.com. Okay, but they do produce great stuff over there. We'll archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Please check out our Equity and Access website, which is ace-ed.org. You'll love it. We want your voice to be heard. We get a nice Twitter chat tomorrow. Check it all out. I think it's hashtag Rural Kids Matter. You think I would have looked this up beforehand, and I think it's at 2 p.m. Eastern. Okay, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening.